I want to take a minute to tell you guys about our Patreon page and all of the great stuff that we offer for our pledges. As you guys know, Sleeperwire is a charity working towards the prevention and treatment of chronic Lyme disease. As a Patreon pledge, here's what you can get. The Draft Genius Draft Kit PDF with rankings for all sorts of leagues, priority answers on the live mail sack shows, early access to the Sunday Blitz every Sunday morning during the season, the full Draft Genius Draft Kit, which includes rankings, articles, draft strategies, expert opinions, and more, a Sleeperwire mug, a Sleeperwire t-shirt, automatic entry to a listener league, and automatic entry to the Sleeperwire Pro-Am. Your generosity will help make a difference. Visit www.patreon.com/sleeperwire for more details.
Now, entering the ring, Hulk Hogan!
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you one thing, dude. I've lifted a 500-pound giant, brother, and I've run wild with the NWO. I've carried all my little Hulkamaniacs to victory with these 24-inch pythons, dude. But I've never seen anything like the Sleeperwire Draft Genius, brother. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created all the Hulkamaniacs, and then he created the Sleeperwire Draft Genius. This draft kit is bigger than Yokozuna, stronger than the Hitman, craftier than Jake the Snake, brother, and more powerful than Andre the Giant, dude. So pre-order the Sleeperwire Draft Genius now by signing up for the Sleeperwire Patreon. Sleepermania is running wild, brother, and what you gonna do when the Sleeperwire Draft Genius runs wild on you?
Hey everybody, welcome to the Sleeperwire Show. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me today I have two great guys. I have Lucas and Producer Steve. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's going on? Oh, still just coming down off that high from NFFC.
I don't do drugs, so I'm not coming off any highs. I don't know.
You're telling me you don't do fantasy football? That is a drug, sir. I digress, but that is a drug.
No, I got my fill last night from Mock Metal Monday. We did 3 hours of mock drafting with a bunch of good people, so I guess I am coming off of that a little bit.
That is awesome. Well, as Lucas mentioned, the NFFC, if you guys haven't heard about that, that is the National Fantasy Football Convention, which took place in Dallas this past weekend. And Lucas, you had the pleasure to go.
I did. I went up from Austin, made the short trip, and hoping to get a few more of our guys out there next year so we can get a booth set up.
Yeah, that'd be amazing, dude. That would be awesome.
It really would be. There's a few different shows that had booths set up. There's a lot of individual guys like me representing different shows that were walking around, shaking hands, and getting to know each other. And this is only the second year, and it is just going to it's going to grow astronomically.
So we usually do an intro question at the beginning here. I didn't put one in the show notes because I thought I'd put you on the spot here. All right.
Sure.
Which player were you most excited to meet?
I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan, so when I saw Zeke roll up, I mean, I got to be honest, I was pretty stoked. I saw Zeke, I said, "What's up?" He didn't hear me, no big deal. He's just a busy guy.
You took a selfie with him though, right?
I did. I managed to get a selfie in, and then the cops yelled at me because I was holding up the line, and, you know, I said, "Chill out, guys."
But that wasn't even – were you even with – I know he was in the background. You didn't get one with him though, right? You just took one and he was signing in the background?
Yeah, so the way that they had it set up for Zeke is they brought him in and they had all of his merch up on the wall. And when I first walked in, I posted a video. When I first saw that Zeke had come in, there was a line of probably 200 people stretching to the back. And I said, "Yeah, Zeke, catch you later, bud. I'm not waiting in a two-hour line." And then I was over hanging out with the Eat Sleep Fantasy guys, and one of them rolled up and said, "Hey, you know, I just got this signed." He said that Zeke took a break, everyone left, and he's back now, and no one realized it yet. So I sauntered on over there at a quick pace and found a T-shirt I liked, got him to sign a couple of things, and took a moment to capture that selfie of us.
Yeah, I got a selfie with Matt Forte in Minneapolis at the Mall of America this past Super Bowl weekend.
I was going to say, you did the same damn thing where you took a picture of yourself with I was either Matt Forte or Adrian Peterson way in the background.
Yeah, I mean, I got a picture of Adrian Peterson, just the very tip top of his head, and I had to take it on an escalator going up to the second floor in this Macy's in Mall of America. But Matt Forte was just walking around the Nike store, like doing an appearance there, just walking around, checking out shoes and talking to people, and I took a selfie when he was right behind me. He had no idea he was in the picture. So,
well, that's fair. I think Zeke even gave me a little smile as he was handing me the t-shirt that he was signing, but it worked out pretty well.
That's funny. Who is the nicest player that you met?
The nicest player that I met was Kenyon Drake from Miami. Talked to him a little bit, told him what we were about. He was asking questions about Rob, and the guy sat there that took our photo that was trying to keep the line going was getting a little flustered because we were sitting there talking rather than just moving us through like an assembly plant. But he actually asked for my card, and I gave it to him. I wouldn't expect to get him on the show anytime soon, but hey, he might reach out because Rob's the man.
You guys heard it here first. Kenyon Drake, new Sleeper Wire host in 2019.
Actually, I saw that picture. I have a question because it looks like you two are about the same height. So Lucas, how tall are you?
I'm like 5'9". I'd say he's probably 6 foot.
Oh, okay. He's about 6 foot.
5'9", 5'10". He's probably 6'1". Maybe he's not a real big guy.
Yeah.
Some little guys over there.
Yeah, he didn't look super tall or anything, but must have been the angle, though. But that was a really nice picture. That was a nice background and everything you got. It looked like they had like one of those red carpet photography things set up.
Yeah, and so at the back of the room, what they had like four different lines at a time, and they didn't have it set up super well because you'd go up and they wouldn't have anyone telling you who was about to come up in that line. And so I'd walk up and see all these people in line and say, "Hey, who are you waiting in line for?" And they say, "Oh, well, don't really know. Whoever shows up next." I'm just kind of like, "Well, let me know." But so they would just kind of roll different people out to different lines, and people would just wait in one line, go to the next, wait in one line, go to the next. You know, Patrick Mahomes was back there. He was being chauffeured around by his girlfriend quite a bit. He looked a little bit flustered when I was there, like a little agitated. So not really sure what was going on behind the scenes with that. But Kenyon Drake was definitely the coolest guy that I met.
Yeah, that is awesome. Who's the worst guy you met?
I'm not going to do that. We love them all.
We certainly do. Well, let's go ahead and jump into the news here. We'll get back to the NFFC here in a little bit. All right, we have breaking news that broke basically 2 minutes before we started recording the show. Ricky Seals-Jones, a lot of people's fantasy football sleeper tight end this season, was arrested for assault, disorderly conduct, and criminal trespassing in Scottsdale, Arizona this past Saturday. As of right now, as of us recording this, this is all we know, so we don't know, you know, actually what happened, suspension or anything like that, but it is breaking news. It is a developing story, so I want you guys to be aware of that. But, you know, we don't need to sit here and speculate on what happened since we have no idea. So let's go to some other news here. DeMarco Murray announced his retirement from the NFL after a really, really solid career. Lucas, you're a Cowboys fan. How much did you enjoy watching him those two great seasons in Dallas?
Oh, it was a lot of fun, except for the fact that I didn't have as many shares in him as I would have liked. So it was bittersweet watching him run and knowing it was for somebody else.
Yeah, looking at his rushing stats on his first two seasons, 164 and 161, that was actually really good in 13 and 10 games for his first two seasons. I believe he was still behind Felix Jones. Is that correct?
Felix Jones out of Arkansas. Yeah, I think when he first came out, he was. But then he broke into his own. Was it 2016 when he led the league?
Yeah, it was. 2013 was the next year at 217 carries. And then 2014... he just went ham with 392 carries in 2014, 1,845 yards, 13 rushing touchdowns. Let's see, what was his receiving stats? I'm not seeing that on here. 57 receptions. Like, this was a great, great season. He came out of nowhere, too. He was a great value.
He was. He absolutely was. And at that time was when the Dallas Cowboys offensive line was extremely underrated.
Yeah, absolutely. that's really right when they – a couple years after they started their rebuild before everybody, you know, knew that the Cowboys were this powerhouse offensive line.
Yep. They really wanted to protect Tony Romo and try to keep him in there as long as they could. But we see how that worked out. But thankfully, we have Dak. I'm a Dak believer.
Yeah, I am too. You know, like, he is being disrespected in fantasy football this season. He was phenomenal when he had Zeke and Tyron Smith last year. He looked terrible without his superstar running back and without his star left tackle, but he was really, really good for fantasy when he had both of those guys.
Yes, he was. And I'm a little disappointed that in the Scott Fish Bowl that we missed out on Blake Jarwin. If you guys know who that is, a lot of training camp reports coming out looking like this guy is going to be the man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was looking at, do we want him or Luke Wilson? Because we're also in the Scott Fish Bowl. So, like, I'm co-running a team with Prophet Hoos and, you know, trying to decide Wilson or do we want to go with Jarwin. I'm leaning towards Wilson because I believe he's going to be the number one guy in Detroit. I think he's the only starter left on the board. And he's super athletic, but we don't have to talk about this right now.
He is super athletic, and now that I look at it, we are actually up in the Scott Fish Bowl, so James Michael's going to have to pay attention here in a second. But man, Detroit, that's a tricky one because I'm not sure that they're really – I'm not sure that they're going to have a super effective tight end because I think that they're going to have so many other options between the three wide receivers and now having Kerryon Johnson. And then we can't forget about LeGarrette Blount. He gets disrespected every single year and really annoys some people.
Yes, he does. Let's go ahead and move on here and get to our next piece of news. Le'Veon Bell is going to sit out training camp, which means he's probably going to sit out preseason as well. He and the Steelers were unable to come to a contract agreement before the franchise tag deadline on Tuesday, which means that he's going to play under the franchise tag for the second straight year. His agent has stated that in 2018 is probably going to be his last season with the Steelers. He is expected to report for week one, but he's going to sit out training camp and also most likely the preseason. But what's interesting about this is that this was one day after Adam Schefter reported that it is possible that Bell sits out the first half of the year, which would guarantee that he's going to be a free agent next season. So, Steve, which one do you believe?
Well, I mean, the agent's obviously more involved in this whole contract discussion anyways. You know what? I don't think Bell's going to be with the Steelers next year. He's been trying to get this done forever. And it seems pretty clear that they are of the mind that they're not going to overpay for a running back as good as he is. He's, what, 25, going to be 26 this season? The trend in the league is running backs are not valued anymore. Not like they used to be. They get young ones. They beat them up for a couple of years up until they're about 25, 26. Once that rookie contract is up, you just move on to the next one. So Le'Veon's goals to become the highest paid running back, I don't think are going to happen. Maybe next year in free agency, but it's a dangerous precedent to set. We've seen it happen with the quarterbacks, with backup quarterbacks getting paid, and the quarterback salaries just shooting through the roof. So I think at some point the league and the owners are just going to say, no, we're not going to let these players hold us hostage. You know, we're not going to let them set the market value for themselves anymore.
Well, Le'Veon Bell did turn down what seems like a very generous offer from the Steelers.
Yes.
They offered him a 5-year, $70 million contract. So $14 million per season, and he turned it down.
And what he wanted was, what he was shooting for was such a small difference from that.
$17 million a year, I think. But the issue, the real issue is how much guaranteed. Is the guaranteed money. I think he was guaranteed with that contract. I believe it was $30 million.
Yeah,
correct me
30.
If I'm wrong.
It was 33.
$33 million guaranteed. So I'm not sure how much he was wanting guaranteed. I'm assuming it was at least 75 to 80% of whatever the overall contract was. It's just not gonna happen. Devonta Freeman is currently the highest paid running back in the league, and I don't think it's even $10 million a year. So for Le'Veon getting
Freeman is the next highest paid, or was the next highest paid.
Right. Had Le'Veon accepted this deal.
Right.
Yeah, but since he didn't, Devonta Freeman, you know, still owning, which was like $3 or $4 million a year less than what they were offering to pay Le'Veon Bell. So I don't know. If he really wanted to stay with the Steelers, I think that's a lot of money, and you know, but I don't begrudge him for doing this and then wanting to go on and see what he can get with another team. He's a really good running back, and my biggest qualms are the fact that he averages 11 games a season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to blame the guy for wanting to get his money. Like, I'm not, you know, we're not holding that against him or anything like that. Maybe Steelers fans are because they're a little bit bitter. But, you know, go get your money because it's such a short career in the NFL. I mean, it could be over tomorrow.
Exactly. That's why he won't get the money. There's no way he can dictate the kind of terms that he wants. There's no way he can dictate that because of the position that he plays and the fact that you got guys like Kareem Hunt coming into the league who can do a serviceable job at running back, and they're young and they're on their rookie contract. So you got in the next couple years here, you got Gurley and Elliott coming up on contract negotiations too. If yeah. Le'Veon sets this precedent, this huge precedent, the Rams and the Cowboys are going to be hard pressed to keep those guys as well. So it's not good for the running back position in general because they're just going to say, well, go find your money somewhere else. We got young guys coming in who can handle, you know, we'll do a committee, whatever.
Hey, the Colts are going to have a ton of cap space next offseason. So, hey, Le'Veon Bell, Indy would love to have you. That would be amazing. Just get rid of Marlon Mack. He is not nearly as good as everybody is saying he is.
You don't believe in Mack and Turbin and Wilkins, who's I'm sorry, he's not the answer.
No, but neither is Marlon Mack either.
What if they traded Andrew Luck away to get enough money for Le'Veon Bell? Would you be happy about that?
They already have enough money for Le'Veon Bell. They don't have to trade Luck to get that.
Okay.
So here's what Chris wants, right? He wants Nick Foles. Remove Andrew Luck, and then get Le'Veon.
Yep. Foles and Bell, that almost might be worth it.
Every offseason, Professor Chris takes the biggest
Super Bowl
names.
Winning Nick Foles to the Colts.
You always take the biggest names in free agency and say, hey, the Colts would be interested in you.
Yeah, because these big names I would love to have on my team, you know?
Makes sense.
Let's go ahead and move to this next piece of news about a player who has not ruled out playing next season, even though we weren't quite sure he was coming back for this one. Larry Fitzgerald has not ruled out playing in 2019. He's also said that it has been great working with Sam Bradford and that Bradford is one of the, quote, pure passers in the NFL.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. Bradford was a really, really good college quarterback and was pretty solid in 2016 as well.
Sam Bradford can light it up. So, you know, obviously it's the age-old question because his knees last. He lasted, what, a game and a half last season?
Yep.
If the guy could just stay upright, he could finish a top-8 quarterback, and that's no joke. He's a gunslinger. He's accurate, and he fits perfectly with the routes that Larry Fitzgerald runs. So I would love to see some action here.
He was there in the Scott Fish Bowl. We're in the 14th round, and it's a super flex league, and he was there. We have Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield. Bradford was still there in the 14th round, and I had to convince Hoos and Dirty Jobs to take Bradford over Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. they paid Sam Bradford. We're not drafting him to be the starter. We have Kirk Cousins. They paid Bradford. They are not starting Rosen unless he gets injured. You're getting $20 million. You're not going to bench a guy you paid $20 million, you know?
You wouldn't think so. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out because most of the reports that have been coming out about quarterbacks from that team are coming out about Rosen and how good that he's looking. But smart money tells me that as long as Sam Bradford is healthy, he's a veteran, he clearly has rapport with the veteran wide receiver, that Sam Bradford's likely getting the first shot.
Yep, yeah. I agree.
I feel like Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, I think he's gonna end his career in Arizona. And I think so,
absolutely.
I feel like he is kind of like the heart and soul of this team at this point. So him saying that he's not playing out or not ruling out playing next season makes perfect sense in terms of a team leader. I think he's going to hang around because you got that new quarterback, the rookie quarterback. He wants to make sure that that goes smoothly. New coach. Like, that Fitzgerald is one of those guys you'd want to stay around for a couple of years just to make that whole transition from the team as it is now to with Rosen and the new coach. I think that's great. I think he's, you know, he's a true Cardinal all the way through and through.
Absolutely. First ballot Hall of Famer. He absolutely should be. Oh, and wide receivers never make it in on the first ballot. This guy is arguably a top three wide receiver of all time, right up there with Randy Moss and Jerry Rice.
Absolutely.
Yep. Moving on here, another wide receiver. The Rams signed Brandon Cooks to a five-year extension. So that's six total years that he's signed with the Rams right now. Did you guys hear how much it was worth? I was looking earlier. I hadn't seen the exact value amount. But five-year extension, that is good for him. Good for him getting his money.
Yeah, it surprised me a little bit, to be honest. You know, the way he bounced around between two pretty damn good teams, and now he ends up on another pretty good up-and-coming team, and they're the ones that decided to lock him up on a pretty long contract? I don't know. They must see something in they like in him, and he fits their system well. So it's exciting. I don't know if it raises him in my draft at all yet. I'd have to see a little bit more.
Well, they paid him $80 million for 5 years. So that really, man, it kind of justifies the argument that Le'Veon Bell is making, because what the Steelers offer, 5 years, $70 million for Le'Veon Bell, and Le'Veon Bell's clearly a more valuable NFL player than Brandon Cooks. But another reason, what does this say to you guys about Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp?
I never thought Robert Woods was that good anyway. He was just decent for fantasy.
Man, I still think that one of the biggest mistakes that the Bills made was letting Robert Woods go. I thought he was better than average and definitely, definitely disrespected.
I think as pure wide receiving talent, Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks are the two best wide receivers on the team.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because JM, he made me take Cooper Kupp in the Scott Fish Bowl, and I'm just a little nervous because his production was way down whenever Robert Woods was in.
Yeah, but he was also a rookie.
So, yeah, so maybe he takes a big leap. But adding Brandon Cooks there, man, that's just a lot of mouths to feed, considering you got your boy Todd Gurley.
But I think a big reason that Cooper Kupp was not getting, you know, as much production is because he is a good red zone threat, but Sammy Watkins was really, really good in the red zone. Seven red zone touchdowns last season, if I'm not mistaken, which is, you know, really good. Brandon Cooks is not a red zone guy. Cooper Kupp is.
Yeah,
so those targets could be leaning towards Cooper Kupp.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's not.
Real possible.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Is Brandon Cooks now, like, because of this contract, do you value him as the number one guy there? I don't. I don't see them having a number one guy. I see them having.
I don't want him as my wide receiver one, but I think he is the one for that team.
Really? Okay. I don't see that. I see them having a lot of options. Maybe not a number one, like a Julio Jones kind of dominant number one guy. I see them having a lot of different weapons, a lot of different options for Goff to use, but I don't think they're going to get Cooks, you know, 8 to 10 targets a game. I don't see that.
Yeah, I'm real interested to see how that plays out. And this surprises me. I didn't think Cooks got 1,000 yards last year, but he did. He got close to 1,100 and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, and that was all in 2 games.
Yeah, for fantasy, it was sneaky and hard to predict that guy. So,
yeah, he's always been like that his whole career, man.
I don't know if that's
thought he was
change.
More predictable with the Saints.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he would have 2 90-yard touchdowns in a game. I know that's an exaggeration. But then no catches on no targets the next day or the next week.
Yeah, he's not someone I'm excited to. I guess I would. I don't know. I'm so back and forth on him. I'm sure he's going to go way earlier than what I'm willing to draft him.
Let's go ahead and move on here. Kenneth Dixon is not going to be on the active PUP list to begin training camp, so that is a good sign for him. He is not going to be required, most likely not going to be required, to sit 6 games to start the season. I still don't see him as much of a threat for Alex Collins. Alex Collins is a workhorse running back. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a workhorse back, but 15 to 20 carries each game, I think, seems about right for Alex Collins. What about you, Lucas?
I love Alex Collins. He's criminally underrated, going in the beginning of the fourth round in a lot of drafts, and then I see guys like McKinnon going in the middle of the second, and that just blows my mind. I will take Alex Collins in the third all day over McKinnon in the second.
I just want to talk about Kenneth Dixon's injury. It's all been to the same leg, knee and ankle, so MCL and meniscus. It's great that he's not starting on the PUP list. I got to see him in action. I don't know if he's draftable, except for a really, really deep league, with the hope that maybe he cuts into that workload a little bit. Because I think last year people were saying he was the more physically talented or more football talented of the backs, but he couldn't stay healthy. That's always been the issue. He's not on the field.
Yeah, it was a suspension in the health.
Yeah, so he might have just got himself into a position where I'd grab him in like the last round as a flyer, you know?
Maybe, but if I were you, I would spend that pick on someone like, I don't know, Jalen Samuels, who is probably a huge reason why the Pittsburgh Steelers weren't willing to offer any more money than what they were to Le'Veon Bell, because they probably see a future in this guy going forward. So keep an eye on him. But Alex Collins, to me, he just looks like the guy. Buck Allen doesn't seem to be going away because he's in on a lot of passing downs. He had 60 targets, which wasn't a huge number, but it's a big number to take away from Alex Collins. So Buck Allen will get his. He'll be standalone valuable in a PPR. Alex Collins is definitely the guy that I want in a standard or half point.
All right, last little piece of news here. Darren Sproles, who didn't he retire last offseason and decided he's going to come back, wrote Sunday that this is going to be his final season. So go back and listen to whatever show that was when we waved goodbye to him a long time ago.
Yeah, I think we're still waving goodbye to him in terms of fantasy.
You're not
going to see him on any of my teams.
For sure. Well, let's go ahead and move into some NFFC talk here. All right, Lucas, we were talking about before the show how day one was really just like people who got MVP passes, so they got to have like a little party the night before. Let's go ahead and jump to day two, though. So walk us through the day. Like, you wake up, it's 4:30 in the morning, it's Christmas morning for fantasy football, right? What'd you do?
So I got up, had a big pot of coffee. I was way too excited because I had gone out the night before and didn't get a whole lot of sleep. But I was up and out the door at about 7:30, making my way over to the convention, and I got there and waited out line because the doors didn't open till 10. So I just walked around and talked to a lot of people, shook hands, looked for anyone that I recognized their face off Twitter, and there's a bunch of people walking in and out of the Legends Room, which is if you paid for it, you got to go like meet and greet with all the players beforehand and do all that. But then when the doors opened up, you know, they just had several different aisles of vendors and booths set up, and there was a few players walking around. I remember right when I walked in, Terrence West was walking around, and then pretty soon after that is when I went to the back, and that's when I met up with Kenyon Drake.
That's awesome. Was he the first player that you met there?
Yeah, he was. He was the first one that I hopped in line to go see. And, you know, like I said, real stand-up guy and looking
great
forward to
great future host for the podcast.
That's right. Great future co-host.
Until we bring Frank Gore in for that.
But let's see, who else? You know, Melvin Gordon was there. Kareem Hunt was there. Darren McFadden was there. He gets a lot of disrespect, but I went to Arkansas, so I got to watch him play while he was there, and then obviously he transitioned after a bit down to the Cowboys. So that was fun. I was sad to see that he didn't have a bigger NFL career, but got to meet a lot of people from other podcasts were there. And actually, Matthew Berry was pretty friendly with me. And he seemed like an okay guy, too. They were up there. They were doing seminars.
As if we say anything bad about Barry anyway.
No.
He's basically, you know, like, as you know, people can agree or disagree with his takes, but he's almost like the godfather of fantasy football.
Well, yeah, fantasy podcasting for sure. Definitely. But, yeah, he's been in it for longer than
ever. Yeah, yeah, fantasy football media. That's what I meant.
But I think everyone, like, most everyone started probably listening to that show, I would think. I know I did long, long time ago. Like, that was the first.
I mean, six years ago when you're running around looking for information, there wasn't a lot of podcasts out there. There was his.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that guy's an inspiration to anyone who wants to be in that industry, though, because – you know, he basically went out on his own. He's like, I'm going to do fantasy. This is what I want to do. And, you know, made a career out of it. Works now, gets paid at an actual sports company that
gets
like their own, you know, department of fantasy now. I wanted to ask you, like, about the fantasy industry at this thing. I've been to, like, conventions for different jobs and stuff, and there's always vendors and booths with the newest tech and, you know, all the newest services. What did you see in terms of, like, fantasy tools and fantasy services? Was there anything like that?
Yeah, so, man, a lot of the vendors weren't fantasy football related. I'd say probably a third of them were directly related to fantasy football. A lot of the other ones were, like, Rockstar Energy was there. A lot of different, like the buy drinks were there, but there were some cool ones. Draft Fantasy is another daily fantasy one that's up and coming. I'm still looking for a little more information. They're supposed to follow up with me this week to get me more information on how they, you know, what they're going to do different from DraftKings and FanDuel. Their main thing was they want to make it more user friendly and more for the average fantasy consumer rather than the people with the spreadsheets that go in and plug 1,000 lineups into, you know, to one of the big contests. So that was pretty cool. There was a Thrive Fantasy, which was pretty cool. They have a really, really cool app, that's coming out that, I'm blanking on this, but what are the bets that are called based on just, you know, little things and
prop bets.
Yeah. So they incorporate prop bets into their app, and the technology was really cool with what they have going on. Off the top of my head, those were two of the main ones that I really liked.
That's awesome, man. So you also met some people who are in the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am this year. So I know you mentioned talking to the Eat Sleep Fantasy guys. They tweeted at me, sent me a message like, hey, you guys got anybody going? I was like, yes, hit up this guy. So what'd you do with the Eat Sleep guys?
The Eat Sleep guys were really cool. You know, we didn't have when you're at one of these conventions, you don't have a booth. You don't have a place to set your stuff down. You're walking around on the concrete floors. About 6 hours in, you're looking for a place to sit down. And they let me come over and hang out with them, and got to know them pretty well. And by the end of the day, they invited me to their live draft that they did at Republic of Texas, a bar around the corner there in Fort Worth. And they had this part of the bar that was all AstroTurf on the ground, and they had some couches and things. And so they had this whole area reserved, and they had some people that listened to their podcast that flew out from like San Francisco just to be part of their live draft. So that was a really cool experience to see that. And then funny enough, lo and behold, about halfway through their draft, as it starts getting a little later at night, Zeke walks in the door, and a few people, you know, realized it was him that had come in, but the bouncers kind of kept everyone, you know, they kind of gave Zeke his own little spot at the bar, kind of kept everyone away from him. But that was a pretty cool thing to happen, to have him walk in the middle of that draft.
Do you think he likes that, or do you think he wishes that he could be more social?
Oh, do you mean like interact with people more? You think that he wants to?
Yeah, the fact that he kind of gets like, I don't call it special treatment or isolated, but I mean, I know people, there's probably going to be somebody that ruins it, but there's probably a lot of people that would just be really cool. Just be like, hey, what's up? Big fan. What do you, you know, you follow in the World Cup, maybe not talk about football, but there's always probably someone that's going to, I guess with his issues, he probably has to keep a little wall around himself, I suppose.
Yeah. I think he would love to hang out with people and, you know, have what I'm just going to say is kind of average people that that just kind of want to come up, maybe get a drink, hang out. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of people out there that just go a little over the top. I'm going to say, maybe get a little bit starstruck, and they just get a little, they get a little anxious and a little too excited. And I know that could be really overwhelming for somebody. And when you're sitting there at the convention all day and just, it was pretty funny watching some of these players walking around, because there would literally be just a mob. Like when they're trying to go from one booth to the other or something, there'd be a mob of 30 or 40 people just all shoving footballs or jerseys or whatever in front of them, trying to get them to sign things as they were walking. Yeah. And, at first I think that would be a pretty fun experience, but then I think it would probably get old pretty quick, especially when you get people being real pushy and a little bit over the top.
Well, and they probably had some people in there talking a bunch of trash to him about, you lost me this week, you cost me this money. Like, I'm sure that happened to some player.
Did you get the impression that any of the players were fantasy fans, or that – did you talk to any of the players about fantasy?
I talked to Kenyon Drake just a little bit about it, but you at these things – unless you have a booth and you have a set up time where you're going to interview these players, you really don't have a whole lot of one-on-one time, because there's so many people that are, they basically have you waiting in line to talk to these, to go up and meet these people and either take a picture. They really are just kind of ushering you. So the best way to do that is to book an interview, which is something that we'll be able to do, seeing this firsthand and seeing how some of these other podcasts were doing. It was a real eye opener, but having the booth and getting a hold of the media person or some of the people that are with NFFC and saying, hey, what do we need to do to book a couple interviews with some of these guys? That's really when you would be able to do this, because they kind of have handlers walking around with them most of the time, keeping people back. And most of these guys were on a schedule where they had to be here for this signing, where they had to be be across the room in the other Bors floor where they're about to do a talk, and that, they get to be interviewed by Matthew Berry, or, they have them moving here. So they had most of these guys on a pretty strict schedule. They weren't allowed to just kind of roam around and mingle.
So how many signatures were you able to get?
So I got three signatures. I got three signatures. I didn't want to spend a ton of time that I was there standing in line. I spent a lot of time really going around and shaking hands with other people that are in the industry. Met Mitch Renz there, Nate Hamilton, Matthew Berry. Yeah, Matthew Berry, Kevin Murray, all the guys from Eat Sleep. There was like five of them there, all super, super cool. Svanja Bell was there. I always like listening to what she, she's pretty knowledgeable with injuries, so she's someone that I like to listen to what she has to say. And, because that's really good information, and that's a different – she gives a different take than what a lot of different people do. She tells you about the injury, and then if you know a little bit about injuries or medicine at all, you can kind of deduce from there. You can make your own deduction on how you think that's going to impact that player going forward.
Last question from me, Lucas. For our listeners and fans out there, you said this is like second year that they've done this.
Yeah.
Would you recommend this to just the average fantasy fan, or is this like more of an industry event, or is it open to fans? It sounds like there was a lot of access to players. Do you think it'd be worth it for somebody to go to if they're just a fan?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they have a schedule of different hosts and speakers. And so there was a panel of all the ESPN people, Stefania Bell and Field Yates and Matthew Berry and one other guy that I'm forgetting, that they were all up there, and they kind of gave a talk, and they had their news and things they were going to go through. And then they did a Q&A for like the next 15 minutes just with people from the audience. And then they would get down and walk around. And I had people that came up, and of course I was wearing my Sleeper Wire stuff. People that came up and said, hey, I've heard you guys, I've seen you guys here, really good stuff. And then so you meet other people from the industry, but also people from the industry, because of the booths and because they're just walking around, are very accessible to fans. So if you're a fan and you want to go, it's heaven. Like, you can go up and find every single person there just wants to sit there and talk fantasy football. It's just a room full of fantasy football nerds. Well, you know, you're never going to be dull. You know, you're never going to be wanting for a conversation, right? Because you have all these players walking around and everyone's just so excited getting ready for the fantasy season.
Last question for me as well. What is the coolest thing that you did while you were there?
Ooh, the cool. I mean,
you're the coolest moment, maybe.
I mean, I kind of what I already touched on, getting to go over and do the live draft with Eat Sleep Fantasy, and then being there in the middle of a live fantasy football draft with all of these guys, and then Zeke just walking in the door as we're doing a fantasy draft was like, I mean, that's a good omen for the season.
It would have been awesome if he just came over and grabbed a sticker and put it up on the board. Just like a random sticker, slap it in a place and be like,
yeah,
that's your pick that round. And then just walks out.
I think that'd be pretty funny. But yeah, that was a pretty neat experience.
Well, we were certainly glad that you got to go. We're going to, if we haven't done so yet, we're going to put all of those pictures that you post, all the ones that you sent us, we're going to tweet them out so people can get a, you know, even just like a slight sense of what this event was like.
Absolutely. Definitely go if you have a chance and you're around Texas. Even if you're not, just go. We're going to be there. Come meet us next year.
Well, that is it for the show today, guys. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at SleeperWireShow. You can follow us on there at SleeperWireLBB. That's Lucas. Steve is on there at Toledo Radio, and I am on there at Seymour SleeperWire. You can find us on the Sleeper app at SleeperWire, at SWSteve, at SleeperWireLBB, and at Professor Chris as well. And on the Fantasy Life app, Steve is on there at SWSteve, and I am Professor Chris on there as well. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.